access to health care as well as promotion. So it's essentially an effort to drive people out who are currently serving, restrict their benefits, and also ban current people who are interested in enlisting from doing so.
How are people organizing against this? Again, this memo has not been announced.
There's already one lawsuit pending. There are going to be many more lawsuits once this becomes official policy. And we're going to see people across the country resist the misinformation that this administration is circulating about transgender individuals and our health care, which is both medically necessary and life-saving.
The memo says that as for current trans troops, their leaders can expel them if they deem them not to be deployable. What does that mean?
It's not clear what that means. It sounds incredibly arbitrary, and there are already military regulations that bar separation based on a lack of universal deployability. So this is completely inconsistent with military policy.
Jay Stranger, thanks for joining us of the ACLU. And that does it for today's broadcast. A very happy birthday to Vesta Gadarz. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gattis, Diener, Sam Alkoff. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
KBOO. You're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 5 o'clock. Coming up next is your Friday evening news. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 7th Annual Arab Festival, Saturday, September 2nd at Oaks Amusement Park in Portland. The 7th Annual Arab Festival will feature delicious, authentic cuisine, music, dance, poetry, fun activities for all ages, and much, much more. Admission is free. Again, that's the 7th Annual Arab Festival, Saturday, September 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at Oaks Amusement Park, 7805 Southeast Oaks Parkway in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Did you know that KBOO's daily evening newscast is produced by a team of volunteers right here in our Portland studios? If you've got some extra time and would like to get free training in radio news production, come on down to the studio and get involved. You can learn interviewing, writing, editing, and production skills, all for free, in a fun and supportive environment. Call KBOO's volunteer coordinator, Ani Haynes, at 503-231-8032 to get involved. That number again is 503-231-8032 to volunteer with KBOO Evening News.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Multnomah County has put the never-used Wapato Jail up for sale.
The Portland Bureau of Transit has opened a new bikeway on the east side.
Residents of coastal Texas are bracing for what could be the worst hurricane to hit the mainland U.S. in 10 years.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 25th, 2017, the 217th day of the Trumpocalypse. I'm Reuben Lawrence.
And I'm Linda Olson, Osterlund. Although a small amount of work remains, the Portland Bureau of Transit has opened a new bikeway on the east side. The 9-mile north-to-south route connects Northeast Lombard Street to the Springwater Corridor in southeast Portland. The route follows 28th Avenue for most of the way, with occasional shifts to parallel streets. North-south routes on the east side have been limited because of the limited crossing over I-84, and the Bureau is hoping that the new bikeway will encourage more ridership among cyclists concerned with safety. The route includes bike-friendly crossing signals at some of the more challenging intersections, as well as two-way bike lanes to guide riders towards neighborhood greenways. Portland has one of the highest rates of bicycle commuting in the country, with more than 7% of residents cycling to work. The Bureau hopes to continue to grow that share and reduce car trips.
Folks only have a few more days to purchase lifetime senior passes to national parks for $10. After that, the price for a lifetime pass will increase to $80. KBOO's Isabel Cochran has this report.
Oregonians and people across the country age 62 and older have until midnight on Sunday to get a great deal on lifetime passes to national parks and other federal recreational sites. The passes will be $10 until Monday, August 28th, when the price increases to $80. It's the first price increase since 1994. The $10 deal means many places have run out of passes. Marsha McCabe with Crater Lake National Park says her office is one of those places, but adds that the deadline is creating a surge in park popularity.
It's great. We're very happy to sell senior passes, and we're just sorry we don't have any more to sell to folks right now.
Folks can go to store.usgs.gov to purchase passes online or find a nearby site where passes are being sold. Purchasing online comes with a $10 processing fee. Because many sites are sold out of passes, people will be given vouchers and must redeem the vouchers before the end of September. McCabe says the price increase was passed by Congress in December, and the revenue generated from the new price will go to the National Park Service Centennial Project funding.
So it will be for special projects that will help the national parks into the future. All of our fee dollars go into projects that directly benefit visitors at parks.
The passes aren't only valid at national parks, though. They're good at more than 2,000 recreation sites managed by 5 different government agencies across the country. The pass also gets folks reduced prices on camping fees at some sites. After Sunday, annual senior passes will be available for $20. For the Oregon News Service and KBOO, this is Isabel Cochran.
The city of Brookings in southwest Oregon has instituted a level 1 evacuation order as a result of the Chetco Bar forest fire. The fire was started by a lightning strike in Calliope's Wilderness on July 12th and has been burning ever since. So far, over 100,000 acres have burned, and the fire is listed as 0% contained. The flames are now about 5 miles northeast of Brookings, a coastal city with about 6,500 residents. A level 1 evacuation order does not mean that the residents should leave, but they should be prepared to do so on very short notice.
3 Oregon Republicans are pushing to repeal Senate Bill 719. The law allows law enforcement agents to confiscate dangerous weapons from people they believe pose a danger to themselves or others. The bill was only signed into law by Governor Kate Brown less than 2 weeks ago and is scheduled to take effect on January 1st. The push for repeal is coming from Republicans Mike Nierman of Independence and Bill Post of Kaiser, as well as Terry Greer of North Bend. Greer is a former candidate for the Oregon House of Representatives. They have filed paperwork with the Secretary of State's office to begin circulating a petition to have a vote to repeal placed on the 2018 ballot. The bill was sponsored by fellow Republican Brian Boquist of Dallas. Boquist said the bill was spurred by the suicide of his 31-year-old son, a Navy veteran, last year. At that time, he said that his son had, quote, never really recovered from the tragedy of war, end quote. The senator also lost 3 soldiers under his army command to suicide after they returned from the Iraq War more than a decade ago. The petitioners must gather at least 58,789 valid signatures by October 5th to get on the ballot.
In this edition of the Civil Liberties Minute, Bill Newman looks at a report that shows the Massachusetts State Police bias when searching motorists.
Headline from supposedly liberal Massachusetts. I'm Bill Newman, and this is the Civil Liberties Minute. State police more likely to search non-white drivers and less likely to discover contraband. An Enterprise News report based on data from Stanford University reveals this. Quote, in the 2 years between January 2014 and December 2015, state police troopers, Massachusetts state police troopers, who conducted traffic stops in Norfolk, Plymouth, and Bristol counties were 64% more likely to search black motorists. 64%! But the 64% statistic is just the beginning. Following a traffic stop in Massachusetts, the state police are 133% more likely to search Hispanic motorists than their white counterparts. And the justification for any of this? There is none. Indeed, drivers who are people of color are significantly less likely to be carrying anything illegal than white drivers, according to the state police's own data. Black drivers are 16% less likely to have contraband on them than white drivers. When asked to comment, well, the state police spokesman declined to address these findings at this time. That's really not surprising. After all, how could you possibly justify such overtly discriminatory police procedures? The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU because freedom can't protect itself.
Multnomah County has officially decided it's time to sell the Wapato Jail. The $58 million facility was approved by voters nearly 20 years ago and completed in 2004, but was never used for its intended purpose. The facility was designed as a 525-bed minimum security jail and secure alcohol and drug treatment facility. When it was completed, voter-approved restrictions limited the funding to local jurisdictions, and the county could never afford to open the jail. An analysis by the Portland Tribune has estimated that the cost to date is more than $90 million, including interest and maintenance payments, and the total could exceed $105 million by the time all the bonds are paid off in 2030. County Commissioner Loretta Smith has proposed Wapato be converted to a homeless treatment and residential facility, but the suggestion received mixed reviews from advocates for the homeless. There is currently an offer of $10 million from a Santa Monica developer, but the county is apparently hoping to do better and has retained the CBRE Capital Markets property brokerage firm to sell or lease the property.
Residents of coastal Texas has begun evacuating ahead of Hurricane Harvey's expected landfall. The storm is anticipated to come ashore near Corpus Christi at about midnight, but meteorologists warn that the exact location cannot be pinpointed. Harvey is currently listed as a Category 2 storm, but the National Hurricane Center predicts the storm would reach Category 3 force with sustained winds in excess of 110 miles per hour. This would make Harvey the most powerful storm to hit the United States mainland in 10 years. Some coastal counties are facing mandatory evacuations, and South Texas Children's Hospital has begun airlifting its sickest children out amidst fears of widespread power failures. Forecasters are also warning of life-threatening and devastating flooding and say that up to 35 inches of rain could fall on the region in the storm stalls over land. The Gulf Coast is home to 10% of U.S. offshore oil production and 15% of natural gas production, as well as half the nation's oil refining capacity. Energy companies are being forced to shut down coastal refineries ahead of the storm. New Orleans is not in the direct path of the hurricane, but it is still facing the biggest threat to public safety since Katrina ravaged the city 12 years ago. Three of the five power turbines that power the 120 pumps that are supposed to keep the low-lying city from being swamped by rainwater are not working, and 15 of those 120 pumps are offline because of repairs. Earlier this month, a heavy rain caused flooding in several neighborhoods, soaking some areas in knee-deep water because of the city's pump and drainage systems were not at full capacity. This weekend, Harvey is expected to pour another 5 to 10 inches of rain on the Big Easy.
More than any other politician, a majority of Americans prefer a socialist who calls for Medicare for all, tuition-free college, and higher taxes on the wealthy. A new Harvard-Harris poll on elected national leaders shows the most popular lawmaker is a self-identified socialist and independent Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. The poll of more than 2,000 people shows Sanders is the only politician in the country a majority of Americans actually like. 54% view Sanders favorably. The poll shows the most unpopular lawmaker is Republican Majority Leader U.S. Senator Mitch McConnell. Sanders also tops President Trump, Vice President Pence, Hillary Clinton, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Bustle reports that Sanders scored highest among millennials with a 62% approval rating. Among registered voters, 58% of women and 55% of men view Sanders favorably. Since his run for the Democratic presidential nomination last year, Sanders has topped the charts on similar surveys and can claim being the nation's most popular politician. In April, Common Dreams reported another Harvard Harris poll showed that no politician was more popular than Sanders. In July, a Morning Consult poll found that Sanders was the U.S. Senate's most approved member with a 75% approval rating.
With a ranger's hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees, you will find him in the forest, always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, 'cause everybody knows that he's the fire-preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a-growling and a-sniffing the air.
You are listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned for Counterspin at 5:30, followed by Native America Calling at 6. At 7, it's Hard Knock Radio, news and views from a hip-hop perspective. Tomorrow's weather calls for a sunny day with temperatures heating back up again. You can expect an afternoon high of about 90 degrees. East of the Cascades in Hood River, Saturday will be even warmer with temperatures in the mid-90s. On this date, in 1916, the National Park Service was formed as a new bureau within the Department of the Interior. When it was started, the Park Service was responsible for protecting the 35 national parks. Today, the National Park Service has over 20,000 employees and is responsible for over 400 separate areas. The quote of the day is from American novelist and environmentalist Wallace Stegner, who said in 1983, quote, "National parks are the best idea we ever had, absolutely American and absolutely democratic. They reflect us at our best rather than at our worst."
You can camp upon his doorstep and he'll make you feel at home. You can run and hunt and ramble anywhere you care to roam. He will let you take his honey.
The Federal Trade Commission officially approved the purchase of Whole Foods by Amazon this week. The online retailing giant said that the deal will close on Monday and that Amazon will immediately begin discounting Whole Foods prices. But many expressed concern that the decision was taken without seeking a secondary review of the potential monopoly that the acquisition creates. This morning, U.S. Senator Amy Klobuchar from Minnesota questioned the FTC's quick approval of the deal. Klobuchar said that Amazon's increased access to data on consumers and their behavior and its dominance in internet retail sales raises questions about whether the merger harms consumers and suppresses competition. The Amazon-Whole Foods deal is the biggest one brought to the Federal Trade Commission since a bill passed in April reduced the ability of the commission to challenge the mergers of large companies.
And now it's time for today's report from National Native News. To keep KBOO listeners up to date on Native American news, culture, history, music, events, and modern life, here's today's report from National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Hannah Colton, in for Antonia Gonzalez. Reducing the boundaries of the newly created Bears Ears National Monument in Utah would amount to the federal government going back on its promise to protect the culturally important area. That's the reaction from tribal officials, environmental groups, and others following a recommendation Thursday by Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke. The recommendations are still secret, besides a two-page summary, but several news organizations who spoke to people in the Trump administration say Zinke is proposing to shrink the boundaries of Bears Ears and at least two other national monuments established by Presidents Obama and Clinton. Julia Bernal with the Pueblo Action Alliance spoke at a press conference organized by U.S. Democratic Senator Martin Heinrich of New Mexico. Bernal says changing the boundaries now would go against the months of discussions and public hearings that led to the monument designation in December of last year.
It was promised to the indigenous people that our existence, our lands, are important to this nation. It is our government's responsibility to keep these promises and not take them back again. How many more broken promises are we going to have to endure?
Utah's congressional delegation and local officials were among those who opposed the monument, calling it an overreach of federal authority. Monument opponents say they want to reserve the right to utilize the land for grazing, mining, and other development. President Trump has referred to the Bears Ears designation as a land grab. A coalition of tribes, along with environmental groups, urged President Obama to establish national monument protections in order to protect cultural and sacred sites throughout some 2 million acres in southeastern Utah. In the public summary that referenced the report to President Trump, Secretary Zinke said the monument declarations resulted from what he called a well-orchestrated campaign by monument supporters. An Oklahoma tribe has hired a lobbyist in its efforts to open a casino across the border in Missouri. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports the Osage Nation this month hired a former speaker of the Missouri House to lobby on the tribe's behalf. The tribe in December contributed more than $50,000 to Missouri Governor Eric Greitens' inauguration, which Osage Nation Chief Jeffrey Standing Bear said was meant to establish a good relationship. A 1988 federal law allows tribes, in some cases, to establish casinos outside their reservations, if the land in question is within the tribe's historical territory. In this case, it would require Governor Greitens' approval. A dress code at a Texas school district is gaining nationwide attention after a 4-year-old Native American boy was sent home for having long hair. CW39.com reports Jabez Oates went to 2 days of pre-K before Barbers Hill Independent School District said he couldn't come back until his shoulder-length hair was cut. In a Change.org petition, his mother Jessica Oates says her family is Kokopa Indian and that her son loves his hair, which is considered a sign of strength. Oates provided documentation to the district to get Jabez excused from the dress code for cultural reasons, but the principal refused. A non-Native author who many say falsely claims Native American heritage is up for a national literary award. John Smeltzer's young adult novel, called Stealing Indians, is nominated for a 2017 Penn Literary Prize. The Seattle Alt-Weekly The Stranger reports novelist Sherman Alexie said, quote, Smeltzer has been held in great suspicion and contempt in the Native world for 25 years, end quote, and that Smeltzer has long relied on dubious claims. Those include lying about having a PhD from Oxford to get a university job. According to The Stranger, Smeltzer's adoptive father wrote to an Alaska newspaper in the 1990s to clarify that his Caucasian son was not Native. The Native village of Taslina in Alaska does count Smeltzer among its enrolled members. The Penn Center says it is aware of the concerns over Smeltzer's nomination and will investigate further. With National Native News, I'm Hannah Colton.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting with support from the Public Radio Satellite Service.
Support by BNSF Railway, proud partners of the American Indian Science and Education Society's National Conference, September 21st to 23rd, helping prepare the next generation of STEM leaders. More at bnsf.com/tribalrelations. Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Today's report from Climate Connections looks at the impact of climate change on health, particularly in the Latino community.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. People expect doctors to be experts on cancer, broken bones, and the flu. But now, many physicians are addressing the health effects of global warming, too. Air pollution and extreme heat can cause illness or even death. And both are becoming more common as the climate warms. Elena Rios is president and CEO of the National Hispanic Medical Association. She says these issues hit Latino communities particularly hard. Because Hispanic children are more likely to live in polluted neighborhoods, they are more than twice as likely to die from asthma than non-Hispanic white children. And because of the type of jobs they have, Latinos are 3 times more likely to die at work from heat-related illness. Rio says doctors can help educate their patients about the risks.
That's one role they have, preventive education. The other role is as leaders in their communities. They can get involved in their hospital, health campaigns, or other civic activities.
And Rio says the National Hispanic Medical Association helps educate policymakers. From doctors' offices to the halls of Congress, Hispanic doctors are educating people about the health impacts of climate change in their communities. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
The Trump administration appears to be poised to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. The DREAMers program, known as DACA, is an Obama-era policy that protects over 500,000 immigrants who were brought to this country without documentation by their parents. Trump faces a September deadline to make his position clear on the Obama-era program, which grants temporary work permits to certain qualifying undocumented immigrants. According to reports, Attorney General Jeff Sessions discussed the program with senior White House officials on Thursday. The Department of Homeland Security sent the White House a recommendation on what to do earlier this week. At today's White House press briefing, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told reporters that the program continues to be under review. Yesterday, a half dozen centrist House Republicans sent a letter to President Trump urging him to keep protections in place for young immigrants. They encouraged Trump to focus his immigration enforcement policies on criminals and leave the DACA program in place until Congress can pass immigration reform.
And now we hear the latest in worker-related news from our friends at laborradio.org.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a Diversified Media Enterprises production. I'm Doug Cunningham. Hospital workers are joining Fight for 15 and SEIU in a planned massive drive to unseat anti-worker politicians. SEIU and Fight for 15 say tens of thousands of workers are each pledging 40 hours to create a nationwide army of volunteers ahead of the 2018 elections. This huge worker political effort kicks off on Labor Day when Fight for 15 will strike and protest in more than 300 cities. The workers have had it with politicians who use their power to block minimum wage increases and gut union rights. Pro-worker candidates for governor and other offices who support a $15 minimum wage will join the worker Labor Day protests at hospitals around the country. Workers launching this huge political effort believe that the first and foremost job of politicians is to improve the living standards of workers. A group of workers at a Target store in Christiansburg, Virginia are on strike demanding the firing of a manager. The workers are also demanding that Target recognize their independent workers' committee to mediate between Target workers and managers. The workers say there are multiple worker testimonies alleging that General Manager Daniel Butler is abusing workers through sexual harassment and racial discrimination. New River Workers Power is an independent local workers organization. One of the workers on strike is Adam, who declined to give his last name.
We actually had made contacts with people in the trailer parks around here who work at Target, and they started telling us all these stories about this particular manager, Daniel Butler, and how he engaged in sexual harassment, making racist comments, putting his hands on workers, stuff like that.
Attempts were made to go through Target HR, but it went nowhere, so a small group of workers went on strike, picketing and leafleting the store this week. Adam says workers have power, even in small groups, if they are organized and determined, and he hopes what these workers are doing at the Target store in Christiansburg, Virginia, inspires other grassroots worker actions nationwide.
Got enough small committed people with a good strategy and game plan and able to execute that game plan, you can kind of punch beyond your weight in a way, and I think we're already kind of proving that, and social media is a very useful tool to help kind of make this local struggle go beyond just our town. We've gotten a lot of retweets and reshares through social media, and that we've helped raise funds for the strike fund, help get the word out to get people to call, participate in the phone blast, and let Target Corporation and the local store manager know that they support us, and just keep blowing up their phone lines and keeping the pressure on them.
You can go to nrvstrike.org for more information or to learn how to help these Target workers in Christiansburg, Virginia. That's nrvstrike.org. WIN is brought to you in part by the Amalgamated Transit Union, the largest labor union representing transit and allied workers in the U.S. and Canada. Online at atu.org. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit workersindependentnews.com.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call us with your breaking news stories at 503-231-8032. Our production team for tonight's newscast is Isabel Cochran, Jenka Soderberg, and Annette Newell. The producer is Ray Bodwell. Our engineer is Jenna Yokoyama. The KBOO Evening News and Public Affairs Director is Zelos Merchant. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at KBOO News. You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. I'm Linda Olson Osterlund.
And I'm Ruben Lawrence. Coming up on Monday morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on More Talk Radio, Cecil and Celeste, the faith leaders ahead of the Clergy and People of Faith March for Justice, happening across the nation and here in Portland. At 9, the Old Mole Variety Hour burrows down to the great issues of our time and goes where corporate media fears to tread. At 10, on Locus Focus, Barbara Bernstein presents Fighting Goliath, a look at the frenetic exploitation of the Canadian tar sands and its rippling effect across the continent. At 11, it's What You're Listening To, asks guests what is on their current playlist and what that music means to them. And at 11:30, Voices for the Animals welcomes Dr. Laurel Neem to discuss her book, Animal Investigators, and New Innovative Methods of Solving Crimes Against Animals. KBOO keeps you informed and involved, and we need your help. Go to kboo.fm and click on Donate to become a member. Thank you for listening. Good night. Good night, Linda.
Good night, Jenny.
Good night, everybody. This program is made possible by KBOO members and support from Bloom Garden Supply. This Saturday, Bloom will be hosting a summer party that will feature live music and a live broadcast of the KBOO Grateful Dead and Friends Hour. It's all happening from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 102nd and Division. All are welcome. More info at bloomgardensupply.com. Coming up next is Counterspin.